Well, good morning, everyone. I hope we're all doing well today. Today we have a smaller group today because most of the college students are away for their spring break. So please be praying for them and as they spend time with their own families and worship in their home churches. But nevertheless, we're still here today. We can still be able to gather together and to worship God and to learn from His Word together. So usually in the morning when I come to church, I usually show up exactly at 9:30. And there's always this one person who comes up to me and says, "Ivan, did you always notice that you show up at 9:30? You never show up any earlier, and you never show up any later either. You seem to always be consistent like that." And I guess for me, it's just been a habit because I always leave my house at exactly the same time. I know how long it takes for me to drive to church, and it just happens that I always end up showing up to church at 9:30. So you could say that I am pretty consistent. I am very reliable. And I'm not saying this to make myself look good or anything, but because I know that there are some times where I can be late, maybe even by a minute or two. But consistency is a very good characteristic for someone who is reliable. That person is someone that you can always count on. When you decide to have a meeting with someone and say, "Okay, let's meet at this location and at this particular time," they will always show up exactly at that time. Consistency equates to faithfulness. Now, when it comes to being in the Christian life, we have to be consistent in the way that we live, in accordance to the gospel, in accordance to Jesus Christ. Because the way that we live and act reflects upon who we trust in, reflects upon who we worship. Consistency is very important. Today's message is the fifth message in our sermon series through the book of Colossians called The Preeminence of Christ. Again, the preeminence of Christ means that Christ is number one. Christ is first in our life. He's preeminent in the sense that He is supreme and above all creation. He is first in the sense that He is pre-existence before all things. By Him and through Him, all things in the earth were created. And He is first and preeminent in priority in our individual lives. This is what it means for Christ to be number one and to be preeminent. Is Christ the number one in your life? So last week we had looked through the book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. And we saw how we can be able to prevent ourselves from being kidnapped. Or in other words, being influenced by false philosophies about Jesus Christ, about what other religions and what other philosophies say about Him. And they try to dethrone Jesus from His position of power. And at the end of that message, we concluded in verses 6 and 7 with a call for each and every one of us if we are a believer. In chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, it says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So what this call is for us, if you're a believer, it says that you have received Jesus Christ. You have received the gospel. Not only are you to be not kidnapped or influenced by false philosophies, but we are to walk, or in other words, to live for Christ in a way that is consistent with the gospel, in a way that seeks to glorify God. How does that consistency look like in our life? So we'll be looking at that as we see our passage for today. If you have your Bibles, let's continue on to in our book of Colossians. We're going to be reading Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 23. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 23. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians in Colossae. Paul says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in details about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grow with a growth that is from God. If for Christ you have died to the eternal spirits of the world, why, as if you still are alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Would you bow with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do desire to live a life for you. Thank you for giving us protection from Satan's attacks. Thank you for protecting us and protecting our minds from being kidnapped or being influenced by any type of false philosophies or human traditions that the world may try to impose on us about you. But Lord, help us, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing you. Help us to be consistent in that and be consistent with the gospel that we have received. Lord, you are living in us and you work powerfully within us. Help us to see and recognize that so that we can be able to live for you and for you alone. Teach us, Lord. We lift up these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So for this passage, we are going to be answering one main question. And the question is this: how can we be consistent with the gospel we have received in the way we live? How can we be consistent in the gospel we have received in the way we live? And we'll see in this passage three practices that we should avoid. There are three practices that we should avoid so that we can be able to live consistently with the gospel. Here is the first point, the first thing that we should avoid. We should avoid the legalism of empty practices. So that's number one. We should avoid the legalism of empty practices. Let's read from verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or the Sabbath." So you see, in the Old Testament, God had provided the Israelites with these laws. He said, oh, there are certain food restrictions and dietary laws. So this, like for example, the Israelites weren't allowed to eat shellfish or weren't allowed to eat pigs. So yes, that means no lobster and no bacon. Aw, man, I know many of us like to eat that. But also in the Old Testament, it also gives special observances in terms of ceremonies and festivals on certain days. In verse 16, it talks about the new moon, which is an observance that is done once a month. And the Sabbath, as we know, is done once a week. But the issue here is that some of the Colossians were following these Jewish traditions and observing these practices ritually. They were doing it mechanically. They were just going through the motions. And they know, okay, they're obeying all these laws legalistically. They don't remember the significance of what they were trying to do. They're just doing it because, you know, our forefathers have done it in the past. This is just tradition. This is the way that we do things, and this is just how we should do it. But this is an issue. This is legalism, and we're just going through the motions. Now, for us here today, I think we can think of many instances where we can find ourselves just going through the motions as well. Like, why do we go to church every single Sunday? Why does it have to be on a Sunday? And for many of us, we might not even like to go to church on Sunday. We're just here because our parents made us to come, right? Or, you know, why do we go to Sunday school and have to do our homework? Well, we do our homework because our Sunday school teacher told us to, and we know that's something that we should just do and just check it off the list. Or maybe when we pray in church, like someone is up here and they're praying, you may find your mind not really focusing on the words of the prayer. You might not be focusing on praying to God, and you find your mind just wandering off and thinking about something else, thinking about some other worry. Maybe during our worship, when we're singing the worship songs, you say, okay, I know I'm supposed to be in here, I'm in church, I'm supposed to be singing to God, so I'm just singing the words, but the words aren't really true in your life. You're just mouthing words. Or maybe you're just here sitting right now in the sermon and you're not really paying attention. That can also be another sign of you just going through the motions. You don't really want to be here. You don't know why you're here. Or if you are in ministry in church, you come here, let's say on Saturdays for a rehearsal to practice for praise team, but you're just doing it just to fulfill the obligation. That's something that is just on your schedule to do. See, there are many different examples, and I think we can be able to relate to a lot of these if we feel that we are just going through the motions of just playing church. And that can be very dangerous. That is legalism. That is just empty practices. They become this way when we forget about the purpose and the heart of these actions, when we forget about what Christ has done for us. Now, in reality, through the cross, we have freedom from the burden of fully obeying the law for salvation. Isn't it great to know that we aren't required by God to obey every single thing in the law and be essentially perfect in order to be able to get to heaven? No, we go to heaven only through our faith and through grace in Jesus Christ. That is an amazing thing. So when it comes for the Colossians here about practicing all these dietary laws and food restrictions and all these festival observances, what does the Apostle Paul say about these actions? Continue on in verse 17 here. So these actions, these are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belong to Christ. So these things, food restrictions, these observance of the laws, they are described as shadows of things to come. So what is a shadow? A shadow is merely an image or a picture that is cast by an object which represents its form. So the shadow is supposed to point towards the thing in which it is reflecting. And in this case, the verse says, the substance is Christ. Your translations may say, the reality, however, is Jesus Christ. So through these dietary laws, through these festival observances, and all the other laws in the Old Testament, they're just shadows merely pointing us towards Jesus Christ. But now, today, we know that Christ has already been revealed to us. If we already have the real thing, then the shadows isn't really anything that is of any use, because we have Jesus Christ already. Once the true object has been revealed, Jesus Christ, there is no need for the shadow. So I know some people, if you start to introduce yourself to them and try to meet them, you usually would ask them about your family. Oh, how many kids do you have? Like, what does your family look like? And many people, they would usually pull out their wallets and inside they have pictures of their family members. Or I guess nowadays with technology, they will just pull out their phone, go over to their gallery and show pictures of their family, or maybe a significant other, a loved one, which is on their wallpaper of their phone. So you're showing up to other people who your family is in this picture. But let's say for me, you know, I have like pictures of my girlfriend Joyce in my phone, but what if I put up all these pictures around my house and I just go around and I only talk to the pictures? I only relate to the pictures. First of all, that is very, very weird. Second of all, it would totally ruin my relationship with her. I mean, same thing for you. What if you went around your house or looking at pictures in your phone and you're only talking and relating to your family members in these pictures? That's weird, and it will also ruin your relationship with them. These pictures are meant to only point towards your relationship to that person, the reality, the true person. And it's not meant to be the thing that you constantly relate to. So it's the same thing when it comes to a lot of laws in the Old Testament. They're just shadows of things to come, which is Christ, who has already come. Why do we keep on relating to the shadows when we have the actual person and being and the deity of Christ who is with us? So this is not to say that the Old Testament laws are unimportant at all. It's just the fact that if we relate to these Old Testament laws legalistically without remembering Christ, then it becomes an issue. So let's answer our first question. How can we be consistent with the gospel that we received, in the way that we live? The first point, we avoid the legalism of empty promises. We avoid the legalism of empty promises. And this is really consistent with the gospel because it is Christ again who has died on the cross for our sins. And he has freed us from the burden of trying to earn our salvation by fully obeying the law, which we know no one can completely do that. We can fall into this legalism today when we just go through the motions of just playing church, doing stuff in church, and just doing the things because we think that this is the right thing that we should do, without truly knowing the purpose and knowing the reason for why we are doing these things. So I encourage you all, take some time to step back and examine what you do on a weekly basis, especially when you are here at church. And even every day as you read the Bible and spend time with God, do you find yourself just going through the motions, just going through church, just reading the Bible, and just because you think that you're just supposed to, and you're just going through these motions? Again, this would be legalism. So I encourage you to see how these practices point to Jesus Christ. See how these practices point to Jesus Christ. Once you find that there is true meaning in these actions that you're doing, you find that your relationship with Christ will grow. And you'll find that you won't be bound to legalism. And you'll find that you'll be consistent with the gospel. So again, how can we be consistent with the gospel in the way that we live? We need to avoid the legalism and empty practices. So now, moving on, the Apostle Paul also warns us about another type of practice that we should avoid in order to live consistently for the gospel. Let's continue on by reading in verse 18. Paul says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in details about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grow with a growth that is from God." So here the Apostle Paul gives an illustration. He gives an illustration about all of us running a race. If we are living this Christian life, if we are a believer, we are running a race. We're pointing towards Jesus Christ. We're running closer towards him and wanting to be more and more like him. And in order to do that, we need to stay on track. If we find ourselves going off track and being distracted by other things and not going towards Jesus anymore, then we can be disqualified. It says here, do not be disqualified. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. So here, the Apostle Paul was warning to the Colossians about falling into the idea of mysticism. So he first warned about legalism, but now he's talking about mysticism. And mysticism is this idea of worshiping angels and other types of spirits, because there were false teachers in the church at that time that were trying to get these Colossians to enhance their experience with God by worshiping these idols and worshiping these angels. So we can find ourselves today worshiping not necessarily angels or other spirits, but we do have idols in our life. Worship of anyone or anything other than the true God is idolatry. And when we do that, we are running off course. We're running off track. We're not staying focused on Jesus Christ. And as a result, we're disqualified from the prize. And this prize is the idea of how Jesus Christ, the fullness in all of deity, is dwelling in us, having growth in Jesus Christ. We're disqualified from that type of relationship if we get into these types of idolatry. Rather than try to enhance our experience by finding some other things to connect and relate to God, we should only focus on worshiping Jesus Christ. Let's answer our question again. How can we be consistent with the gospel we received in the way that we live? Here's the second point. We should avoid idolatry. We should avoid idolatry. There once was a Japanese warlord named Hideyoshi, and he ruled over Japan in the late 1500s. And he had commissioned a huge, colossal statue of Buddha for a shrine in Kyoto. And it took 50,000 men and 5 years to build this idol. And the work has been scarcely completed when all of a sudden an earthquake had happened. And this happened in 1596. And it brought down the roof of the shrine that it was in. And it crashed down and it completely destroyed this idol, this image of Buddha. And enraged, Hideyoshi shot an arrow at the fallen statue. And he said, "I put you here at a great expense. And you can't even look after your own temple." If we have an idol in our life, this idol will eventually pass away, and it will eventually fail you. It will not help you grow in your relationship with God, but rather it will sever your connection to him who is the head in the church. Read verse 19. Paul is responding again to this mysticism, and how verse 19, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." When we are involved in this idolatrous worship, it disqualifies us from the prize, and it severs our connection, our relationship with God in the church. Again, Christ is described as the head of the church, and the church is like a body. In the body, there are many different body parts which are all connected to the head. The head is the central location in which there's commands that are given, in which nourishment is distributed. When we are worshiping idols, we're severed from that connection. So what are the types of idols that you may experience in your life? You may find yourself, you know, trying to get good grades. I mean, getting good grades is not bad in itself. But if that is something that is what your mind is always thinking about, and that's something that you are spending all your time on, it can become an idol. Your idol may also be trying to become popular. No, I want all these different people in my school to like me. I want me to have a good image. That can also be a prideful thing. That can also be an idol. If it's something that you constantly think about, if that's something that you constantly try to do and work upon, think about what is that thing in your life that could be an idol. And if it's so, we need to surrender that to God. We need to sacrifice that to God so that we can return on focusing on Jesus Christ as we run this race and as we live our life for him. Again, there's no problem with going through many of these things and practicing these things, but it becomes a problem when it becomes an idol in our life and just consumes most of our time. So let us surrender these idols to God. Let us not be disqualified for the prize in knowing and growing in Christ. And let us continually be connected to Christ, who is the head. Finally, I believe in this passage, there's going to be one more thing that the Apostle Paul teaches us that we should avoid in order to live consistently with the gospel. So we talked about legalism, and then Paul has talked about mysticism. But the last thing he talks about is something that's called asceticism. Let's read from verse 20 here. Verse 20 of chapter 2. "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they are used, "according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh." The Apostle Paul was warning the Colossians about asceticism. Now, what is asceticism? Asceticism is this extreme form of self-denial and avoiding all forms of indulgence in an attempt to try to please God and have a spiritual experience. So you might have heard of the reformer Martin Luther. Before he had became a believer, he had actually tried to go through this type of asceticism by lying naked in his cell all night long in the bitter cold, and he tries to beat his body and torture himself trying to find peace with God. So asceticism, like I guess in modern terms, it's almost as if I'm preaching right now and I'm telling all of you that you should never drink alcohol. You should never watch TV because it's like a sin box or something like that. You should never go to the theaters and watch movies. You should never dance. You should never read novels. You should never do anything that is enjoyable in this life. Okay, just to let you know, that's not what I'm really saying. But if I were to say that, that is the form of asceticism because it's this idea of an extreme type of discipline to try to say, oh, by avoiding all these pleasures in life, I can be able to have a closer relationship with God and be better. Again, this can be a form of legalism. And in some cases, this can also be a form of idolatry because you are trying to go through this discipline to an extreme form so that you can feel better about yourself. Now, the thing the Apostle Paul is saying that Jesus Christ is enough. You shouldn't add anything. You shouldn't try to have any type of thing to try to enhance your spiritual relationship with God because Christ is enough. Let's answer our question again. How can we be consistent with the gospel received in the way that we live? The third point, we should avoid seeking spiritual satisfaction apart from Christ. We should avoid seeking spiritual satisfaction apart from Christ. So many of you may know that I am very technologically minded. I like to try new technologies. So like a while ago, I got this smartwatch. And this smartwatch is a peripheral. So a peripheral is a device that's supposed to enhance your experience of something else. So in this case, my smartwatch is supposed to be a device that enhances my experiences of my smartphone. Same thing with a computer mouse. Your computer mouse is supposed to enhance your experience of the computer itself. But when it comes to Christianity, there should be no peripherals. There shouldn't be something else that you want to add to Christianity to enhance your relationship with God and to enhance your relationship or your experience of Christianity. Because if we do that, if we think about, okay, some people are like, I need to listen to this famous pastor, listen to his sermons and follow him. Or I need to try this new spiritual discipline that everyone seems to be talking about and going through fasting and like this type of diet. Or I need to try this new spiritual trend or try this new religious system. No, why do we keep on trying to add something else to Christianity to try to enhance our spiritual relationship with God? If we do that, then we are saying that Jesus Christ is not sufficient for us. If we do that, then we are saying that Jesus Christ is not enough for us. And it's my prayer for all of us that we won't get into that type of thinking. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. This verse already says that God has already given us everything that we need to live a godly life. God is already sufficient. God is already enough for us. And going about this theme of Christ being preeminent in our life throughout this sermon series, Jesus is no longer preeminent if we try to add something else in addition to Him. So again, how can we be consistent with the gospel we receive in the way that we live? Point three, we need to avoid seeking spiritual satisfaction that is apart from Christ. So let us think about, is there something that we try to desire? Is there something that we always try to seek to try to have peace in our life or try to have a better spiritual experience? If we do that, help us, we should pray to God and ask him to help us see that he is enough, he is sufficient for us. Let us review everything that we have learned in this passage. Now, we have talked about how it is important for us to be consistent in our Christian lifestyle. This consistency shows a matter of faithfulness. And when we are consistent with the gospel, we are reflecting Jesus Christ. We're reflecting what he has done in our life. So we answer this question, how can we be consistent with the gospel we received in the way that we live? There are three things that we need to avoid. The first thing to avoid is the legalism and empty practices. We shouldn't be going about these empty practices and going to church every single week without remembering the reason, which is mainly doing it for Jesus Christ. The second thing that we should avoid is idolatry. After all, Jesus Christ is the one who has died on the cross and saved us. It wouldn't make sense for us to go into idolatry and worship something else because these idols did not save us at all. And finally, the third thing that we need to avoid is seeking spiritual satisfaction that is apart from Christ. Because we know that Jesus Christ is enough for us. Jesus Christ is sufficient for us. So let us remember and remind ourselves about these things that we should avoid in order for us to be consistent with the gospel and be consistent in the way that we live out the gospel. Living out the gospel isn't merely a reflection of what Christ has done in our life, but it is an actual external expression about what you believe in. When you avoid legalism and when you avoid empty practices, you are affirming that Christ has saved you from the legalism of the law, and you don't need to follow the law completely in order to find salvation in him. That is something that you believe in. When you avoid idolatry, you are making a verbal and doctrinal statement that Jesus Christ is true living God, and there's nothing else that can subdue him. And when you avoid trying to find other things that enhance your relationship with God apart from Christ, again, you're making a doctrinal statement that Jesus Christ is sufficient and enough for you. This is what it means to live our life in a way that is consistent with the gospel. So not only are we to avoid, as we talked about in last week's messages, from being kidnapped and being influenced by false philosophies, but aside from that, we need to live in a way that's consistent with the gospel. Can we do that and set a great example for everyone in the world, to point everyone towards Jesus Christ? This is really needed in a world that is very dark and very lost. We should be the light of the world. We should be the salt of the earth. And God can use each and every one of us to really proclaim the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is a pleasure to know you. And we desire to know you more and more in this life. Even though you are an infinite God, and we can spend our whole lives trying to study the Bible, trying to experience you and know more of you, and even after 500 years or so, if we can live that long, we will never fully know you. Because that's how great, how deep, and how infinite you are. But even though that you are an infinite God and we can't completely know you, that doesn't mean that you aren't knowable. Lord, you love us. You've given your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We can find salvation through you. You are a knowable God. And I pray that through this knowledge of you, we can be able to live it out consistently in our life through this gospel that we have received. Help us, Lord, to in everything that we say, think, and do, to be able to glorify you. Forgive us when we have tried to go about things in our own way. Forgive us when we try to worship other idols and have other things that subdue your preeminent position in our life. Lord, help us completely surrender to you and know more of who you are. Father, we thank you. We lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.